I said to Rachel yesterday, do you know, it really is December tomorrow. And I don't normally get excited about that, but spurred on by the likes of Phil Bestwick and Sylvia Thorpe, I have experimented with being really positive about the coming of Christmas way back from November onwards. And Rachel has, maybe Rachel was ahead of me in that one actually, and so I've given in and enjoyed the fact that Christmas is coming. The grumpy old man was there otherwise, saying, what are they doing putting their decorations up already? I can't believe we're listening to these songs in the garden centre already. So I'm not doing that. And now as a town, we're that much closer, we've had the lights on. It was a fabulous evening, as you heard from Marion earlier on. Huge thank you to everybody who was involved in that. The church absolutely heaving. And now we have the church with sort of adventy flowers, more greenery. We have signs that are around of Advent. The purple here, this is Advent Sunday. In fact, this is Happy New Year Day. So Happy New Year, everybody, early. And it actually happens this year. It moves when the start of Advent is the church Advent. But this year, it's the same day as the Advent calendar start. So this is the best kind of start to Advent, isn't it? Best way to get us looking forward to Christmas, which is what Advent is all about, in part. And then also, as Christians, there's more to Advent. It's not only preparation for making the most of Christmas, but it's preparation of ourselves for Jesus coming again and for living ready for that, which we saw in our readings. I'm going to look at both of them. I'm not going to go into the details, particularly some sentences, but I'm going to start with look at Matthew, the one we've just heard. We're going to hear a lot from Matthew this year because it's a new church year and there's a 3-year cycle of readings that we will be using at certain times of year. And in the first year, this is back to the first year, year A, we have Matthew readings mostly. Then next year we'll have Mark readings mostly. And the year we've just finished, we had Luke readings mostly. I'm sure you noticed. Anyway, here we are with a bit of Matthew. And we have a number of unexpected arrivals. I don't know if you've ever had anybody turn up unexpectedly at your door. It does happen. It can be a bit of a shock sometimes, can't it? My parents have a habit of turning up early when they're coming to see us. We've got used to this now. Fortunately, in this modern age, they text a little bit ahead. We're 10 minutes away. Oh, I thought it was an hour. So there's a bit of, last minute preparation that happens when parents arrive. Fantastic story from Bishop Tom Wright, who talks of his family relaxing in the big bishop's house that they had. Sunny afternoon, they kind of all spread themselves out and mess things up a bit. And then the doorbell rings, and they wonder who that might be. And the bishop goes along to discover 30 very smartly dressed people standing outside, and suddenly realises in that moment that he knew about this, and they're coming to look around the house and hear about its history. So he says, why don't you go into the garden and sort of get the context for 10 minutes. And they frantically tidy up inside and put the kids away in their rooms and open the door again a bit later. This comes of being the Bishop of Durham and living in Auckland Castle. Anyway, this reading isn't about unexpected arrivals at our door. It's about the coming of the Son of Man, which we need to be even more ready for. In the time of Noah, nobody was ready for the flood. They just got on with life. They probably laughed at Noah building his ark. Jesus' return will be just as unexpected, and some will be prepared and others won't be. Seeing the images in the reading that we have here in Matthew, we have to remember that Jesus' return is a good thing. We notice that a flood isn't a good thing and a thief in your house isn't a good thing, but the return of the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man, is something to be looked forward to. Also notice in this reading, if you've heard of those bumper stickers or the series of books I can't remember what they're called, but anyway, the bumper stickers in America typically say, warning, in case of the rapture, this car will be unmanned. Or they say, in case of rapture, the car's yours. The idea being that should the rapture come, all the Christians will be taken away and everyone else will be left behind. That's the series of books, the Left Behind series. But actually, if you read this reading, at the flood, the people who were taken away by the water. The ones who were left behind were okay, were the ones in the boat. So it's an interesting one there. Anyway, that's just food for probably irrelevant thought at this point, how it all works out. But we know we look forward to Jesus' return. And we need to be ready for it. We need to keep watch. We could be not ready. There's a reading we had a bit earlier on when we were thinking about prayer and being persistent in prayer. And at the end of that reading, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Jesus warns us that we need to be ready for this. We need to live ready for it. So how do we keep watch? How do we be ready? Well, I'm going to go to the other reading now from Romans. And in Romans, when we heard that reading, there were three commands which came through quite clearly. Wake up, put aside, and put on. Okay, so what are we going to do? Wake up, put aside, and put on. Wake up first. Wake up, the hour has come. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Be awake. Don't sleepwalk. You may know what that's like. I know what that's like. I don't actually sleepwalk, I don't think. But there's the times when the dog barks downstairs in the middle of the night and I try and sleepwalk down there, deal with the dog, even if I have to let the dogs out and back in again. I'm trying to stay asleep through the whole thing. Shut the door, come back, still be asleep. But that's not how we need to be. We need to live life awake. Even if others around us are still sleeping. We need to dress for the day. We need to draw the curtains. We need to prepare to let the light in. Expect the warmth of the sun. It's a time of year when actually we do have a great image of that. For those who go out to work and start early, you're going out in the dark at this time, but you're all ready for the day. And so you're ready for what's coming, even though it's still dark all around you. We need to see the signs of light. We need to keep our eyes on the horizon where the light is just coming. We can see that the light is coming even when it's dark down here. My sister, older sister, lives in Norway and this morning sent a photo of them watching the sunrise in Norway across the snow. It gets light a bit later than us actually there because of the place it is on the earth. And she said, first Sunday of Advent, and I was thinking, wow, there's a good image. Watching the light as the sun rises and concentrating on the light, not on the dark. We look for the light. We look for where we can see it. And as Christians, we know we can expect that the day is coming. It's the only way we can have hope in the face of some of the things that go on, like what happened at London Bridge on Friday, like the violence and the injustice that we see around the world, like illness and other things that you end up dealing with. There will be day. The dark won't win out. We can prepare for the light and for the day. As Christians, we can see the world around in the light of the certainty of Jesus coming again, as sure as day follows night. So we have hope in the face of despair, and we pray that really strong prayer, your kingdom come. We don't give up on the world. We don't ignore the wrongs. We shine the light. And also, I would suggest that being people who are awake, we look for the good in it all. We see the light and our eyes are trained to see things in God's light. So we can take it all in. We can learn to look out for the beauty of it all, for the amazing world that we live in. We can be alert to our impact on it. Sleepwalkers plough through things. Tired people don't mind how they get things done. They're just trying to get them done. They might mess things up on the way through. But actually, awake people are thoughtful and careful and considerate of the world around them and how they treat it, and of each other. As awake people, we can notice kindness and we can show kindness. We can notice need where there's need, and we can try and meet it, or at least try and make a difference to it. These are things that we can do as people of the day. How about being more alert to God's world and to everything in it and to everyone in it this Advent? We can't do everything. We're just small people with our own small world. But let's be more alert to see things as God sees them. Be aware of what's within our reach. That's part of what it means to be people who wake up, who live awake as the day is coming. So that's waking up. Then the second command I noticed was put aside. Put aside deeds of darkness. We're faced by deeds of darkness all around, from others and from ourselves even. St. Paul talks about ending up doing the things he doesn't want to do. We can all relate to that. It's all too easy to slip into old ruts or to trip over things that we've previously left behind when we're living in the low light of the beginning of the day. We mess up so easily. It can be hard to work out what's good and what's bad in the half light. It's like matching socks early in the morning and then discovering later in the day that you've actually got a blue one and a black one, but you didn't notice. Sometimes we need to shine the light just a bit more, to concentrate a bit more, to think a bit harder, to decide whether something is the right or the wrong thing to do, or to read, or to watch, or to look at on the internet. Is this the right thing? Is this the light thing? There's so much dark stuff around, and so much that is not considered dark at all. And yet we, as people of the day, should be able to notice those things. Unfortunately for Christians, the dawn light is full of grey areas, and we need to think and we need to pray. There were the old wristbands people used to wear which said, WWJD, what would Jesus do? It is a good question to think, to remind us, to be people who consider carefully in the many grey areas what is the right thing, the light thing to do. We're people who try to do the right thing, who pray that we'll do the right thing, who put things into place to stop habits that we wish we didn't fall into. There are some of the obvious things in Paul's list which we may realise are a struggle. But actually, some of the stuff that we need to be very aware of is stuff which isn't wrong in its own right, but at this time, in this situation, it's slowing us down or getting in the way, blotting out the things we should be concentrating on and doing. So we need to put those aside. And where we have the influence, we put aside the deeds of darkness for other people, taking away things that block out the light, speaking up against the bad stuff that's out there, taking away burdens that stop people from lifting their heads and seeing that there is hope, there is light, the day is coming. We can work to level the ruts that people might fall into and get things out of the way that people might trip up on. How do we make our community a better place for children who are growing up and learning values? How do we make the community a better place for people who are trying to get out of destructive ways of life? How do we thwart people who are set on doing bad things? These are questions that we have as Christians when we're called to put aside the things of darkness. We can do something about that for ourselves, and we can look to see what we can do about that in our communities. And then finally, put on the armour of light. Armour speaks of a battle, something to defend us or something to protect us so we can continue on the offensive. The armour of light is about God at work in us. Think about the fruit of the Spirit. Those sort of things are part of the armour of light. I ended up thinking, let it grow, let it grow, let it grow. That was too much Christmas. Anyway. But the armour of light, love, joy, peace, patience, oh, you know that. These are fantastic things. We can list them off. Fruit of the Spirit. But it's God's work, God's armour around us. The other thing you might think about with the armour of light, think about the armour of God that we read about. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith.
These are very definitely defensive things, but also the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. These are actually all part of our kit as people of the light. Things that we are called to put on, to make a difference in the world. This armour of light is all about God's work in us. It's the work of the Spirit. It's the gospel message. It's clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is how that passage ends up talking about it. And that is the great thing. God has done it. He's bringing the day in. Spiritually, we clothe ourselves in light. I'm reminded of the old advert. We are the Ready Breck kids. Do you remember when they walked around, the ones that had Ready Breck had this haze of light around them? That's like how we are, in a sense, spiritually. Surrounded by God's light, able to shine his light into the dark places and protected from the dark. So let's wake up this Advent. Let's see the world and see our times and our activities with God's eyes and respond to people and respond as those who are prepared for the day, looking for the day. And then let's put aside the stuff of darkness in ourselves and work to make that possible in our communities. And let's put on the armour of light, being God's people, making his difference as we're clothed in him, making a practical and a spiritual impact as we go through our lives. It's not easy being awake when it's not yet fully day, but it is important and it is the way that we're called to be as God's Christians. And it's worth it. Those of you who've got out early in the morning for some reason that you didn't even need to, but then you look and you see how amazing it is. It's a fantastic place to be. We appreciate stuff that others miss. So let's live Advent ready this year. And all this, he says as the no longer grumpy old man, all this while enjoying the preparation for the most wonderful Christmas celebration that we're getting and smiling at the Christmas lights and singing along with the carols and maybe even eating a chocolate from your Advent calendar each morning. Amen.